Well, this morning, since we are celebrating our Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the church's standpoint, I'm thinking about this. I've been teaching on Wednesday evenings from the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of things that I've looked at over the years, especially as coming up now. There's things that I understand a lot clearer than I did before. And as you teach along on things, you find out about what's really dealing with things is what's important and what's not important. And I often think about that Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin said that the church has majored in the minors. If anything of minor importance, they spend the most of the time on. Anything of major importance, they don't know anything about. And it sort of goes to show, if the church world, the most incredible event of all humanity that ever took place was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's celebrated once a year in the church. Yeah, the church celebrates it once a year. And we're different than the original church. The original church met together. It really is on Sunday, the first day of the week, and the reason they met together because that was the resurrection day, was Sunday. That was what the day was all about. They got together to celebrate resurrection of Jesus. It wasn't once a year, The first church believed in the resurrection. We've turned it into just an event, And it's a Sunday, they say, well, the churches and stuff and places will be full. What they do is they get everybody that has all their little, programs. And they get all their little programs, they do all their little programs, and they're wonderful. And people do all that stuff, but they walk out the door and don't know any more about the resurrection of Jesus Christ than they did when he walked in the door. And we've taken it out. And, today it's all about, let's draw a crowd. It's good to draw a crowd if it's true. If it's about what's true. And it's important. But we want to look this morning and the fact that we are going to have communion here today. And I just want to read to you in 1 Corinthians about communion that the night before Jesus died. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And the Apostle Paul, who, understand this, the Apostle Paul was not there that night. Well, we know this, that Apostle Paul was caught up to heaven in a vision and had some revelations that were given to him. In fact, the Apostle Paul has the major revelations in the scriptures that tell us about the return of Jesus Christ for the church. There's some revelation that Peter and John had about some things, but none of them had the revelation Paul had about it. Paul distinctly and spoke very clearly, we're going to read some of Paul's things today about that. The Apostle Paul writes down here, and he says the revelation. And we need to get, one of the things is important with Paul, because then Jesus was betrayed that night, and they wrote we have the events that took place of all these things that took place. But Paul really brings to the church the important thing about that night, this event. This event was the important thing. This was the thing that was told to be practiced from that time out. This event. And it is not for everybody, it's only for Christians. This thing is not for everybody. Communion is not for everybody. Loads of even Christians would be good if they came to church, because lots of churches, what they'll do is they'll have communion on Sunday, the Easter Sunday, and they'll have communion. There's loads of Christians that should never take it, because they will come into church, haven't lived for God all year, and sit down and hurt themselves more by treating the things of God like you can just come and take it any old time you want it, go leave, go do what you want. Apostle Paul, if you go on to read from here, we're going to read to you, finally warned the people about what they were doing. Many were weak, sick, and died prematurely because of not rightfully judging the body. And that was during the communion service. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about the communion service. There's many people would do better if they stayed away. If you're not going to live from God, don't take communion. If you're not going to live for God, don't take communion. That's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to do that. It'll cause you more trouble than it will help. You'll curse yourself. Apostle Paul told him many weak, sick, died prematurely. And so it's a danger. But it's this event, this thing here that he said about, so important to us. It's so important for us to do. So important for us. In the same way, if it's something that caused you more trouble, what would it do for you if you lived right and did it? I believe a great blessing will come from walking and doing and living right. Paul said this in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 23. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you." In other words, God, the Lord gave this to him. He said that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now he took the bread, and actually the original, now they have it in here, and I've checked on things on what the real Greek says, and even in some of the older ones' versions and some of the things. And they always say here, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And actually he didn't say that. That's not in the original Greek. That's added by men. That's added. It doesn't say that. He said, "This is my body is given to you. This is my body." You know, God became a man for you. That's what he's talking about. God became a man, became a human being. He became a flesh and blood sacrifice for you. He gave his body for you. That's what he did. Now, the fact that they use the fact's broken, they say his body on a cross, but really, we're supposed to look at the fact that God became a man, actually had a physical body. You would be totally shocked to find out how many Christians do not necessarily believe that Jesus had a physical body like we do. You would be shocked to find out how many people don't believe, how many people who even are born again but today don't really believe the Bible's true about a lot of stuff in this area. It's amazing. And number one, so in other words, we're supposed to believe, you couldn't believe his body was given for you if he didn't have a body like yours. You couldn't believe. In other words, we're identifying in our faith when we take communion. We're identifying in our faith. God became a man and God gave his body. God came down to put on a body specifically for you and me. That's what he did. He became a man and took your place. If he didn't become a man or have a body like yours, then you cannot be identified with him. Impossible. You couldn't be identified. See, we're identified with Adam for sin. We're identified. The Bible says so. We'll read about that. We're identified with Adam for sin. So, if Adam was a human being, and people, yeah, well, Adam was a human being, God, Jesus Christ had to be a human being, had to become a human being. If he did not, you cannot be identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's an impossibility. You couldn't be identified in it. He became a man. God became a man. Hallelujah. Now, I know those things sound far-fetched today to the mental intellect and the way many people are educated today. You know, that's not reasonable. I'm sorry. My Christianity has never been reasonable to the human mind. It never has been. And if you're looking for a Christianity that sounds reasonable to you, there's plenty of other religions you can go to. There's churches in here, in our neighborhoods here, that will preach a reasonable gospel and let you live like hell and go to hell. This gospel is not reasonable to the human mind. Doesn't make sense. What on earth would God come out of heaven and want to become a man to save you scoundrels? But he did, didn't he? Hallelujah, it's the truth. God became a man. He said, in the same manner, it says, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This cup, now listen to what he said, "This cup of my blood." See, he's a human being. He's flesh and blood. God became flesh and blood just like you. Hallelujah. God became flesh and blood. Most phenomenal thing. Now, he told us this, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup," what do you proclaim? The Lord's death till he comes. Now, he said, you're proclaiming that I became a man. In other words, a physical body could die. He came and in a physical body died for mankind. But he said, how long do you do this? Till I come. You keep doing it till I come back. You keep doing this. It is a constant reminder. Communion is not just a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross. A communion is a reminder. Thank God, you should remember that. It is a reminder of who and what we are, our sacrifice that was made for us and our redemption through Christ. But the fact of it is, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And so it is, we as believers need to live and walk in the light of this. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is also in 1 Corinthians and go over the 15th chapter. We want to go over and look at things because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But see, every believer, everyone who believes And I should say, we need to, everybody who believes what the Word of God says about Jesus and believes it and has made Jesus their Lord, they are, these ones are Christians. Not everybody who says Jesus. Loads of people out here use the name of Jesus but do not believe what the Bible says about Him. There's many who don't. There's a huge the surveys that were just done a few years ago on people who said they were born again. They were actually believed in being born again. Majority of them believe that you can go to heaven in other religions. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they ain't born again. Because they call Jesus a liar to his face. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If anybody in another religion can make it to heaven, Jesus Christ is a liar, and we're just here, what on earth we're doing here, I ain't got a clue. We're wasting our time. I tell you what, this boy ain't been wasting his time. I'm believing what's true. The Apostle Paul talked to the church at Corinth about this because they had the problems that they're dealing with today. We're dealing with here. They say, oh, you know, the Bible's old. That's old school, you know. No, it's not old school. The same junk's going on today as it went on back then. Man haven't changed. Sins never change. Dumb is dumb. I don't care if it's 2,000 years ago or it's today. Dumb is still dumb. Smart is still smart. Ain't changed. Nothing changed. It's just we have a lot more dumber people today. That's our problem, I think, worldwide, you know. Do you know, and it's one thing, and I want you to understand this. It's easier to preach the gospel in a nation who believes in gods than nations who don't. America's a hard place to preach the gospel because Americans are educated and they're not sure about God at all. You go to a foreign land where they believe in the supernatural and they believe in gods, whether they believe in your, you can preach the gospel easier in their nation than you can in America. Because they haven't got educated out of their minds. America's a hard place to preach. You ask any minister who goes and preaches in other countries and preaches in America, I have never found one that said, I'd rather preach in another nation. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'd come out by mission trips and I would talk to God for months about, God, let me be a missionary. I don't want to be an American anymore. I don't want to be here. Because you're called to preach a gospel, but you're preaching it to a people that are so educated in their minds and that stuff. You got to try to convince Americans, first of all, there even is a God, much less Jesus Christ. You're trying to convince Americans. Most other nations, like you go outside of, like from Europe and the rest of the world, they believe there is a God. People who believe there's a God, you can start talking to them about, but when people are skeptics, whether there even is a God. And there's much, you know, our educational institutions are mostly atheistic. Most of our professors and things in colleges are atheistic. They teach atheism. Our science world is basically atheistic. And so it doesn't preach in that area. So we're going to talk about something absolutely crazy today in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. The Apostle Paul in verse 12 writes to that church. Now he's writing to Christians. And here's what he says. Now, understand, these people are Christians. They have come to believe in Christ, the gospel that's been... Paul's preached the correct gospel to them. But they already, many of them aren't believing it. He got to come back and talk to them about it. Hallelujah. He says, now if Christ, in verse 15, now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You would not believe how many churches today will talk about the resurrection of Christ, but do not believe in the resurrection of the believer. You would be shocked. I want to tell you, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the believer, you really don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. There's a lot they call believing isn't believing at all. It's because of the gospel. He says, but if there is no resurrection of dead, he said, then Christ not risen. Is that this? See, he was God. They really don't believe he became a man. They really don't believe that he became a man. Many people have mentally ascended to that, but in their hearts they don't believe. They don't believe. See, they had that trouble here. They had trouble in this church. He goes on to say, he said, if Christ not risen, then our preaching is empty. Your faith is empty. There is no. If Christ not risen from the dead, you need to understand, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, the preaching of the gospel matters not. And there's churches today, there's ministers standing in denominations today who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in those things. Their churches celebrate Christmas, and they don't. And the ministers don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in it. Oh, he was just a man born, you know, nice guy, good guy. God, you know, sent him. But it's hard to believe those things. I would think people would sometimes ask their ministers what they believe, because most of them have not preached enough on these subjects to anybody to know what they believe. This is why I talk about a lot of different things. I want you to know what I believe. Loads of ministers never tell people what they believe, because loads of people would never show up in their church if they really knew what the guy believed. Oh, yeah. I knew a minister once. Man, he'd go through some wonderful things, sounded really good. He didn't actually in his life believe a thing. He didn't believe in being born again. All people thought he was a wonderful Christian. He didn't believe in none of it. He knew how to play the game. He knew how it worked, and he knew most people and most Christians were dumb as a stick. He knew that. And he knew he could play the game, and they would never check it out to see if it was real or not. They'd never check it out. So we ought to be checking things out. Paul knew by the Spirit what's going on in this church. There's things going on. Paul's answering the question. He said, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised Jesus from the dead, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. In other words, Paul's saying, hey, look, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, I'm a liar. I've been running around testifying that Jesus was raised from the dead. Can you imagine? There's ministers who will stand today and talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and don't believe it themselves. See, we need to understand, are these things true? This is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation. If there's any skepticism, if I have skepticism about any of this, my faith's an empty thing. My faith's an empty thing. I can't be a skeptic about any of them. I can't be, there's no way to say it. The Apostle Paul said, for if the dead do not raise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sin. Most Christianity believes that their sin was forgiven when and taken care of when Jesus died. No, it wasn't. It's when he was raised. If he was not raised from the dead, you are still in your sin. The resurrection was the completion of salvation. The cross was not. The cross was part of it, but the cross was not. And the church worships the cross. You know, the first church didn't have the symbol of the cross and all that stuff. We keep Jesus dead. Man, we love the things of him hanging on, the pictures of him hanging on the cross. We love it. You know, if anything should be the symbol of the church, it should be an empty tomb. That should be the symbol, not the cross. The victory of the church is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross is called in the New Testament a place of sin and shame. That's where our guilt was put on it. And we worship the guilt. The church has worshiped the guilt. Hallelujah, thank God. Hallelujah. And we go. That's one of the things I learned as a young Christian, Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he used to say, like in the ministry and stuff, they never had crosses. He said, I don't worship, thank God for the cross. But he said, I worship the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you get people on the resurrection side, you'll have a changed people. You keep the church on the death side and they'll live like they're dead. They'll live like they're dead in sin. Any Christianity group that keeps Jesus on the cross and amplifies Jesus on the cross will be people who live like hell. And they'll be the ones that always preach, we're just old sinners saved by grace. There ain't been no resurrection. I want to tell you, there was a resurrection, folks. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection took place. Hallelujah. Paul said then also, those who have fallen asleep, and other ones that died in Christ, have perished. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, he said they perished. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, he said we are of all men the most pitiable. The church is the most, we're the most down and out group in the world if Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead. We've been wasting our time. We have been wasting our time. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man's death, man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in all in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, there's something, when Jesus Christ returned, it's his return is for the purpose of yours and my full redemption. We don't have full redemption. Redemption has been completed from the standpoint, from a scripture of what God said, but there's a day of fulfillment for everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ that they're going to get the new body. When you and I as believers get our new body, we will have the full redemption that the Bible talks about. The saints who are in heaven, they don't have full redemption yet. Thank God they aren't up there bugged in their bodies and sin trying to dominate them. But understand this, they don't have a full redemption yet. There's a full redemption, and they're going to come back, and they're going to get a body just like Jesus's. You know, Jesus is up in heaven, and he has a glorified body walking around. You know, the other saints don't. They don't have glorified bodies. And you know what? They want the day to come when they get theirs. Why? They know this. Their redemption ain't complete. And your redemption isn't complete. And this is one of the things that the church does not understand. If anything should happen on Easter Sunday, is we should be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Thank God what he did through Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. But it ain't done yet. It's not complete. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, in that same 15th chapter, if we go down to verse 51, he made this statement. He said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed." I want you to understand. He told these people that he's preaching to them. I want to tell you this. He's preaching to them what he already preached to them. You know, faith comes by hearing. One of the reasons why today the church world does not have faith on the return of Jesus Christ, because it's not preached. This is why when they do the surveys, they get all these wacky answers. You go around to churches and see what churches are preaching, and they're preaching everything else. They're preaching all about getting stuff, God blessing you, this and that. That's wonderful. But you need to know the foundation of your faith needs to be pumped into you all the time, because it keeps you steady. In this day and hour, one of the reasons we have the great mess in the church, because most of the church world, the TVs, radios, and the churches are not preaching Jesus is coming back. They're not preaching anything about the end times. They will mention it on the side, but nobody wants to make a commitment to anything. And it's all about Jesus is good, he's nice, and nobody has any faith for it. And here you need to understand this. Whatever is not preached, no revelation comes. A minister cannot get revelation unless he preaches it. If a minister doesn't preach the revelation God gives him, he gets no more. That's why I preach things. The end times, I always come back and preach it again and again. People say, "Well, we know that." I don't know it all yet. I've read the book and I know this. I don't know it all yet. And I preach it because I want further revelation. And if you're going to get further revelation, and I know this, the church and even a lot of guys that call themselves, you know, end time preachers, man, a bunch of them need a lot more revelation. They haven't got a lot of things they don't understand. But see, we go back and preach because revelation comes by taking the revelation that you have and expounding upon it, and God gives you revelation. I didn't learn that myself. I learned it from Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would take certain things and preach them over and over again. And the same thing over and over again. People ask him one time at Rhema, they ask him why he did it. He said, "I'm only preaching what I know and I need to learn more on it." So he preaches the revelation he has, and then God would give him more revelation on that subject. See, you can sit and preach and pray about all you want about revelation. Revelation works this way. You give away the revelation you got, you get more. If you keep it, want to wait till you get to some big ball of wax, you'll probably never get much. The church needs to preach on these things often, especially in this last day, is for the church world to come to the place of faith in God. You can't come to faith in Jesus' return if you don't know much about it. You can't come to faith in it. You won't be expecting a thing that you don't have faith in. You can't have a hope in what you've not heard. And this is the thing. We come back. We got to come over into these things. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, your mortal body, it must. Did you hear what Paul said? It must. Full redemption. There is no redemption, full redemption, without immortality putting on mortality, putting on immortality. In other words, at last I checked, Ed's body is mortal. Have you checked yours lately? Find out and see if it's mortal. You know, just reach out, reach over, slap yourself upside the head a good shot. You'll find out real quickly, you're mortal. See, ow, that hurt. Wow. But if you like, maybe I'll do it for you. What do you think? But see, you'll find out you're mortal. He said it must. This is a nice idea. Would you like to have it? This is a must to redemption. This is a must. This isn't something God would say, you know what? I'd like you to have this. It's a must. It must. Hallelujah. This is a must to the church. So when the corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. This hasn't been brought to pass. This saying has not been brought to pass. For the church, this saying has not been brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? That has not... People preach as if that took place at the cross. It did not for you and me. Jesus was raised from the dead, and death don't have any sting on him, but death still has a sting on Ed. And Ed don't like it. That's why God gave healing. Any minister that says that God isn't in the business of healing people is an ignoramus. And I'm trying to be kind, but he's an ignoramus. The whole point, healing is given to us till we get the new body. That's what it's for. No minister should ever go who don't believe in healing. If he goes to a doctor, he's a hypocrite. If he don't believe God's a healer, then the devils must be working through that doctor, and he better stay away from him. See, we have such whacked out in Christianity here in America today, people can hardly believe the Bible. See, we need to come back to the truth of this one, what God did through this. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. He said, he gives us this. There's this victory. There's a victory coming to you and I, folks. There is a victory that is on the way. Hallelujah. A victory. Now, he goes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. What did he tell us we're supposed to be? See, he just got done giving them a revelation. What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to be steadfast and immovable about this revelation. You stay steadfast and immovable. I want you to understand something. The more you grab a hold of this stuff and the more you meditate on these things about the coming of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you is what happened to them back there when Paul used to preach us. Do you know those people were looking for the coming of the Lord all the time? The church world today is not. Generally, they talk about it. You know why? It's what's got to be in us, not just some words spoken out there. They talked about it. They believed it so much, they wanted it. Most Christians don't want Jesus to come. They're too worried about many things on the earth. I've heard Christians say things. Well, I don't want Jesus to come back, not to my relatives and this. If Jesus can't take care of it, you can't, you ignoramus, you moron. Get a life. When did you become the Savior? When did you become Lord of heaven and earth? When did that happen? That if you ain't here, God can't make it work. I'm just going to tell you the truth. God could have done a lot more in our lives if we weren't around. We stopped a lot of good things God would have liked to have done by our ideas. When you come to that place and realize you're not God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to throw a weight off of your life and be a lot happier person. I want to tell you what, I don't have to make it happen. When I came to the point to realize I always have to ask God to do it and believe he'd do it, and Ed didn't have to do it, Ed got happy. But I lived and walked too many years, Ed wasn't happy. He's trying to make it work. And you're never going to be happy. You're never going to have the joy. You're always going to be carrying this big weight and burden around on you. Don't carry that burden around on you. We're supposed to be steadfast, immovable. Man, Jesus is coming back. We're going to get the new suit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, woo! We're going to be like Jesus. Isn't that phenomenal? Look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. I'll read you some scriptures here. This we want to do is read these scriptures because they're wonderful. Hallelujah. This is God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. This is your end. This is your destiny. And I'll tell you what, there ain't any saint, when Jesus returns, there's not going to be one person on this earth that gets the new suit of saying, hold it, Jesus. I don't know if I really want, let me stay here. I want to go through the tribulation maybe. Or I want to go through, no, I don't want to get a glorified body. No, people are going to be, woo, we're out of here. There's going to be, my words, hallelujah. And there won't be any doubt who's Lord either. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. God don't want you ignorant about the saints who have died. God doesn't want you ignorant. There is much ignorance today. And the only reason ignorance exists is because the stuff is not preached. You got to go to the funerals so they can read you scriptures, these scriptures. You got to go to funerals today. And most people don't even like them and don't want to, you know, because they're scared to death of death. Because they ain't saved. In my words, I know people call themselves Christians and are scared to death of death. But we find here, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now that word there, hope, that's a confident expectation of something good happening. You can't have, that kind of hope you can't have except through the Word of God. It's only through the Word of God you get confident expectation of good. That's the only way you can have it. There's no other way to have it. Believe me, folks, I've tried it. My life was trying to have fun, trying to be in a place where I could expect something good down the road. And you know, all I had was down the road, it didn't ever got any better. I just, you know, I'd get run over by the next truck that came down the road. I would be, you know, I'd be having fun out there playing on the street for a while, but there was always a truck run me over. Hallelujah. For if we believe, now listen, he says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If we believe this. You want to nurse it? You need to believe that? If we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I can tell you this. I listen to many ministers and even big name evangelists lead people to Christ, and all they do is you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. They never go anything of believing about the resurrection of Jesus. They never even teach people to do it. Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin and told him, many people pray prayers and never get saved because they're unscriptural. People don't believe the truth. Now here's this insane Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, this insane man, this guy who did not believe like preachers believe today, this man in Romans, the 10th chapter, made this statement in verse 9. Now listen what Paul said you had to do to be saved. Paul didn't say, ask Jesus to come in your heart. Paul never said those words were never spoken. They're not spoken in the Bible. They've been made up by men. I always ask people, show me the scripture where it says that. They always, oh, we know it's there. Oh, we know it's there. It's there. Why? Because we said so. My words, I'm God. Now, that's what he said you believe. See, we confuse and make people go through all kind of rigmarole to be saved. And it's the most simple thing of what you have to believe. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or really in the literal Greek, it means you confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're Lord and I'm not. You believe in Jesus. Now, this is the simplest thing. But we make all this stupid rigmarole and mess people up. Listen. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what he said. Oh, when they go through all this rigmarole and all this stuff that they do, They bring people to Christ and they never run them over to even confess or believe. They never even preach to them Jesus raised from the dead. Oh, say Jesus, why do you want to accept Jesus? You have a messed up life and it needs fixed. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get saved, ain't nothing gets fixed. You stay living in hell. It is the most simple thing to be saved. It is the most simple thing. is to believe. What he tells you to believe. And it's the most simple thing. And he tells you here. Paul just told the church in Thessalonica the same thing in a different way, but just the same thing of what a person we believe. I was talking to a man who was doing all this stuff. He said he was a Christian. He believed in Jesus. But I know this, he was never led through a true accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Somebody probably told him and had him pray a prayer and said he was saved. And he believed that. This is one of the worst things you can ever do, is bringing a person to believe that they're saved and they're not. I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest person now you're going to ever try to reach. This is why so-called Christian and other religions, it's very hard to reach people who have a form of Christianity. They're the hardest to reach. You can reach a pagan religion easier because they think they're all right. They have been told. They have certain scriptures that they believe and certain things that they got that are wrapped. But this guy, he had all kind of books of Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, all these main people. I mean, good stuff. He had read these books. He probably had more notes than there were words in the books. He had notes. He wrote all these notes. But he was still a skeptic about things, and he still, questioned. And I talked with him a while. We were there a while talking with this guy, and he was talking all this stuff, and he was saying these things to the book, yet he's dealing. And finally, I talked to him about salvation, and I brought up about Jesus being raised from the dead, and he said, I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. I don't believe in that. And I just looked at him and said, well, then you're not a Christian. You need to understand, you are not a Christian. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't be a Christian. I don't care what you prayed. You can't get born again and not believe in the resurrection. That never happens. God doesn't defy his word because somebody was sincere. You could be sincerely wrong. See, this resurrection's a big deal. This resurrection thing, it's the basis of all Christianity. It's the basis. And if it's not preached and it's not founded in us, the rest of what we try to build ends up shaky. This is why so many people are so shaky in faith. They don't have a good foundation. They haven't been sold out. You know, when trouble comes, man, we're just going to live this rotten thing out the end. No, man, I'll tell you, no matter how this thing goes, it got a glorious future. Hallelujah. No matter what happens here, man, I'm going to tell you what, they can call me off and kill me. They're just going to send me to heaven. I am so convinced of that. I'll tell you what, I don't even care. I don't care what these guys are doing out here anymore. They'll just send me to heaven. And then those ignoramuses are going to trouble because Ed's coming back. Hallelujah, then they're going to have to put up with me. And you know who's going to rule? If you look, the Bible talks about Jesus ruling with a rod of iron. The book of Revelation talks about the saints ruling with the rod of iron. These people didn't want us. I'm going to tell you what, we ain't going to come back and put up with their stuff no more. And we ain't going to have to. Hallelujah. Folks, I read it in the book. It's true. I don't care. Anybody can say whatever they want to about it. Well, that don't sound like love. Well, you ain't got a clue what love is anyhow. That's why the things are so messed up in our country. We have this mushy, scummy love that lets anybody do any old thing they want, call it okay, and the church is in the middle of it. Hallelujah. God don't think it's okay. Glory to God, those who believe in Jesus, that he died, rose from, they're coming back with Jesus for this. We say to you, by the word of the Lord. Paul's not saying this is what a thing, and I thought, you know, thought this sound. He said this, I'm saying this by the word of the Lord. That we who are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, wonderful saints. I would think about this. You know, my mom and dad? Hallelujah. I have to wait to get to heaven to see them. If Jesus comes while I'm still alive, hallelujah, they're going to come and see me. And we're going to go off together. The people who have walked in faith before us, all of them, just think of all the saints that come back from before. We're going to see the Apostle Paul come back. Oh, we act like Apostle Paul, he's Jesus himself. No, he's not. He's a man. And he hadn't got his full redemption yet. And he'll be coming back and getting his full redemption, just like you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the whole family is going to get the body at the same time. Woo! Hallelujah. And all these people are saying, well, you know, they're going to come back. All this is going to happen, but nobody's going to know it. You've been reading too many books. Read the Bible sometime. That would help. Read the Bible. Glory to God. Men have their opinions, and I got to get rid of mine. If the Bible says it, it's what the Bible says and not what Ed thinks. Hallelujah. Then we are alive and remaining, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And what does it say to this? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These are words that should be spoken here in the end times. We're facing all these things, and comfort is not being spoken to the body of Christ. We're not speaking the truth. The truth is not being spoken. And the body's looking down here and looking at what the government's doing and all this mess down here and wants to wring your hands. You got to keep looking at this stuff. Man, our redemption's drawing nigh, folks. Hallelujah. Comfort one another. You know Jesus is coming back. Mike, you know Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. We're getting out of here. Hallelujah. All the saints are coming down to here. Glory to God. And we're all going to get new suits and go off and go to the rest of them. Said the vote don't matter no more. Oh, I'll tell you, it's going to be so glorious. Hallelujah. Back in about 1985, I had a vision of the city of Lebanon, Jesus Christ returning. And the streets were filled with people standing out there waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. You need to understand, it's not going to be a hidden thing when Jesus comes back for the church. God ain't going to hide. God didn't hide it when he took Elijah. God didn't hide it when he took Enoch. They knew the Lord took him. They knew the Lord took him. Didn't say he just disappeared one day. Nobody knew what happened to him. They knew it. It don't ever change. It don't ever change. God's going to take his people and they're going to watch us leave. Now people have all kind of speculation of what people are going to think when we go. I don't know. The Bible didn't say so, but I know this for a fact. I'll be gone. That's all I need to know. Hallelujah. That's all Ed needs to know. He'll be gone. What they think goes on and what happens down here, that's up to them. That's going to be up to them. God will have to deal with all of that down here. But, you know, Ed ain't God, so Ed don't have to deal with it all the time. Hallelujah. One day, then I'll come back with Jesus when he sets up his kingdom, and then we'll fix some things. Hallelujah. But until that time, it's God's business, and God's going to be doing the dealing. Hallelujah with that. Listen what in the book of Philippians says this and says to you. See, we have all this today about, you know, illegals coming in, and well, no, they're not illegals anymore. You know, you can come into America and you're not an illegal. The illegal people here are the ones who were born here. We're the illegals. You need to understand that. If you were born here, you're the problem. You're the trouble with this nation. And you know, you're working, you're the trouble with this nation. You're a problem. We ought to have all that you have and do and make, and we need to have it all. He said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior." Did you hear what he said? The Apostle Paul, let's look back, how many years has been he penned at? What's he doing? He's eagerly waiting. Why are these people eagerly? What keeps them where they are at? It's because of what they preach. It's what they believe. It's, you know, it would inspire our faith. I want you to understand this. Dr. Ed Dufresne, who just died last year, Dr. Ed Dufresne, only a little time before that, Jesus told him this and said to Dr. Ed Dufresne, he told him this. He said, "Faith in the church is at an all-time low." And I agree 100%. We have these faith preachers on TV. There's loads of these faith preachers, so-called faith preachers on TV. I'm going to tell you what. Some of you sitting here got more faith than they got. They've learned how to manipulate. They've learned how to do all kinds of things. They've learned to do all kinds of stuff. But they know almost nothing about faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith brings hope and encouragement. And there's one thing, as I found it out, if we get over believing right about the Word of God, faith is not a hard thing to do and to operate in. It's easy. If you're a foundation, if you're believing the right things, it is easy. And you're not struggling to try to believe God. God never intended this big workout of faith that we have going on today. God never intended that. You know, I go back, I'm from back the 1950s, and through the 1950s, I remember during the healing revivals. You know, during the healing revivals in 1950, you know a lot of what them guys preached about? Jesus is coming back. It inspired people's faith. People were so looking to Jesus. I want to tell you what, I'm serious. During the 1950s, you went to church, you would have thought they were gathering busloads to leave. The churches I went to as a kid, they're looking for Jesus to come back. See, you get talking about Jesus, you know what? They wanted him to come back. And then came along the educated faith people, started making fun of people who believe in Jesus. These great escape artists, they just want to get out of here. Amen! Get me out of here! Paul said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Ed joins him. But these guys turned around and started, something's wrong with you. You ought to be here in your faith. And you're just going to take over everything. You're going to have that's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. We lost our faith by that kind of preaching. The church lost its faith by going over and not wanting to leave here. We're supposed to maintain a hope. We kept the Apostle Paul. He did his work while he was here, but he wanted to go. Paul said himself, to depart and be with Christ is far better. He said, I'd like to get out of here. But he said, you know what? I'm going to stay here for your sake. Paul wanted to leave. There's no man who has a revelation of Jesus Christ, a living revelation of Jesus Christ, and really wants to stay here. If you really want to stay here, I know this for a fact, you don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ. That'd be like, I really love a woman. I love her so much, but I don't want to marry her. I know this. You don't really love her. Let's get real. We have a lot of stuff that's been set out here today. There's been a lot of wind blowing, and it's no more than wind blowing. I'm going to tell you, you can't get close to Jesus and want to stay. There's a draw within me to leave. And I don't believe that that's just because it's close. Because people before me had the draw. My dad had the draw. That's all he ever talked about was the return of Jesus Christ. He so looked forward to it. But they preached it in their church. And they were some plain people, you know, they wore their coverings. But they believed in Jesus coming back. And my dad so looked forward, he talked about it. The night my dad went on to be with heaven, I sat in the hospital room by the bed by him, and they said, you know, he's dying, his body just wore out. You know, he's 90 years old, and it just wore out. And I sit in the bed beside him, and I just said to dad, it's time to leave, it's time to go. I said, I know you talked all your life about being here till Jesus come. But I said, all your life, Dad, I've ever heard out of you, was you looked for heaven. I said, Dad, it's yours now. You need to go. It's yours now. And the doctor said, well, you know, it may be, you know, 2 days, 3 days, maybe or more, him passing. He went in 20 minutes when I told him to leave. He said, man, get to heaven. He didn't say, nope, I want to stay here and suffer a while. And let me go through something bad. He left and went to be with Jesus. But see, it was real to him. And why? Is they preached it. When his time came to go to heaven, he wanted heaven. I've dealt with Christians since I've been a minister, and I've dealt with Christians, many Christians that struggle terribly at death. And I know why, because of what people listen to and they're preaching. What they think is the most important on the chart. I can go through anything as long as I know I'm on right. I know I'm on course with Jesus. I know I'm on course to heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, I can live while I'm here. Glory to God. What are they going to do to me? Hallelujah. I do believe that we're the generation to receive the return of Jesus Christ. We're seeing fulfillment of scriptures that people only dreamed about. It wasn't too many years ago. Main ministers, even in the charismatic movement, didn't believe certain things that the Bible said about end times because they couldn't believe that certain things would align in certain ways. Well, look how they are. We couldn't be any end times. And in a matter of years, boom. Here we sit in the middle of it. It's like, oh my God. Hallelujah. We're at the middle of this thing. This Jesus, this Savior, eagerly waiting for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, what's he going to do? Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. You're going to get a body just like Jesus got when he came out of the tomb. You're going to have one like that. Woo! According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Death is going to be subdued. Hallelujah. It's going to be captive. Glory to God. Back to it is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I want to read these scriptures here before we end. I'm reading these scriptures because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I just want to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. We're living in these times. This is the resurrection, being saved, knowing your destiny for heaven. This is our success in this time with all this craziness going on out here. This will hold us steady. These things will hold you and I today. We can get up and sing some nice songs and do some things, but the Word of God will uphold you. It'll keep you. And 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavenly." He's talking about the human spirit. See, this outside house, we got an outside house, but this is a temporary house. In the inside, there's an eternal house. And one day, you're going to get an eternal outside of this house. But he said, this thing here that we have an earthly house, he said, this tent is destroyed. We have this building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavenly. For, now listen to what it says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed by our habitation, which is from heaven." I want to know why the church world today is not groaning for the coming of Jesus Christ to get the new house. Something's wrong with us. You know? I haven't been eager enough. I should have been getting eager a lot long before I did. If we would ever listen, and we'd listen to our human spirits, we would have a desire to get this new, but we would be, "Man, Lord, I want the full redemption. Lord, I'm fed up with this flesh of mine. I hate it." No, what we have today in America, spend all your money and time pampering this thing, trying to keep it, you know, looking a certain way, doing a certain way. Let's get the gun and shoot this thing. Ain't nothing a good bullet couldn't solve. See, where are we at? When I read Paul, I had to say, "Paul, I've been groaning." he said, "Earnest desire to be clothed with our habitation which is in heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Can you imagine in heaven? There's a groaning in heaven for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Those people up there want their new body. Do you think that groaning stops when you leave here and go to heaven? It does not. Heaven wants to fulfill all that it said. It wants to bring everything into line to what it said. God wants the word fulfilled, and he wants the word fulfilled in you. Hallelujah. "For we are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." I think sometimes we misread what's going on in us. And we've been told you have a little bit of unbelief if you want to get out of here, or you're just sort of tired of the way that it is. I'm not tired of the way that it is. I am fed up to here. And there's nothing wrong with me spiritually. I finally got spiritually right. I'm fed up to here. I am fed up with the earth up to here. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah! There's a groaning in me. There's a groaning in me. It's not weird. See, we thought something was wrong with us. We were really people of faith. Man, I got over and looked the bit Paul wanted out. I thought, man, looks like a man of faith to me, and he's trying to get out of here. I said, I think I'll join his boat. I'm going to go with Paul. I'm going over there. But I found out there's a great release. It released me from the things of a lot of things about what goes on in this earth. It released me. The love of this earth is slowly gone away. I'm not talking about you can't have blessings here and God can't do that. But I'm going to tell you, too much of Christianity loves the stuff. Too many preachers love the stuff. Talking about coming back and getting your houses and lands back. And that, they can keep all that rot they want. You come back in a glorified body and you'd be thinking so dumb. Dear Lord, they need another dip for sure. How can they talk so stupid? Why? It's sensuality. What I read here has to be spirituality. It's in the Bible. And so it has to get in contact with spirituality and not with man's opinions about these last days. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Who prepared you for this groaning? Who prepared you for this thing about wanting to get this new suit? Who's the guy? See, God did. God's the one that prepared you for this very thing. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is saying inside of you? You need a new suit. God said the Holy Ghost is the guarantee within us. This is what keeps us. I learned this. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll have this desire to be with Christ. You'll have this desire to be with Christ. What happens in the day, if Jesus would tarry, it will come the day he leaves this earth. There's one thing, it ain't going to be a sad time for me. I'm looking forward to the day I get to leave. You know, I believe without a doubt Ed's going to heaven. Ed's going to heaven. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe he's Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But whether I leave or whether I'm here, neither side matters. See, I can live in victory while I'm here. I can live without fear or worry while I'm here. The Holy Ghost is my guarantee. So we are always confident. Now listen to this. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith with sight. This is we know. Do you realize this? As long as we're walking down here with this earth suit, we're absent from God. How could you be real happy with that? Our whole desire. We sing songs about knowing God better and yet trying to stay away from heaven. It don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense. See, the Holy Spirit's in you. We're confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Right now, we're walking by faith. We're believing what the Bible says about it. You know, that faith can become so real to you that what you see don't matter anymore. Your hookup with Jesus can become so real. Your attachment to heaven can become so real that what you see around you don't matter anymore. Faith is a powerful, powerful, powerful force if it's founded in God's Word. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body. What are we well pleased or confident? Yes, we well pleased rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Here's true Christian faith. I want to be with Jesus and not here. Gee, are they preaching that around anywhere? You hear them preaching that? Well, no, it's only the Scriptures. But see, we don't talk about these things. I'm not talking about, you know, we're not going to get in the Jones group and go down and drink poison together. We ain't going to be doing that stuff, folks. But I want you convinced in the fact of where you go that you never have to fear as you live in this earth or you ever have to worry. You've got a God who made a plan for you and he's going to carry that thing out. Hallelujah. And just as Jesus surely came out of the tomb, you will too. Oh, hallelujah. You're coming out in glory. Glory to God. You don't ever have to worry. You don't ever have to be afraid. We're building these things in ourselves. We're confident. We want to leave. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to Him. So that's our aim. Hey, whether I'm here or whether I get to go right now or not, whatever, I'm just going to please Him. See, but you have to have these words founded in you or you aren't going to walk in pleasing to Him. You're going to do what pleases you. This is what many people want to have a changed life without faith. You come to faith first, it'll change your life. Come to faith. Take these Scriptures and sit down. If any of this day and time, sit down, meditate on these Scriptures, comfort yourself. If nobody else will comfort yourself by what's going on out here in this world. You comfort yourself. God's got a plan for you. You read these things, it'll keep you in a place where you just feel safe. You know what? It is insane, but I feel safe in this world. I have no natural reason to feel safe at all. There is no natural reason I should feel safe with our government. Our government is insane. Why? They're godless. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm taken care of by heaven. Hallelujah. I read the book. Comfort yourself. Sit down. Put it in yourself. Beloved, this is what John wrote in 1 John 3 and 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. In other words, we don't know exactly. But we know that when He is revealed, when Jesus, in other words, when Jesus comes, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be like Jesus. Now, listen what he says to this. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he's pure. What did he say? Everyone who has this expectation, this hope, this confident expectation of what's going to happen to them when Jesus Christ comes, that those folks purify themselves. See, we cannot clean up the church without preaching about the end times. We have to preach and get people ready for Jesus to come back. Kenneth E. Hagin, Jesus appeared to his mama and told him concerning his ministry, what was going to happen. When he was a baby born, told him that he was going to have a ministry like John the Baptist, getting God's people ready for Jesus Christ to return. And what did God tell him to go? Go teach my people faith. Changed lives are by faith. We got born again by faith. When I got born again, that's what changed my life. Faith changed my life. If I want to move to new levels of faith, then I have to hear what the Word says. See, somebody preached the gospel to me and I got saved. It was words of God changed my life when I believed them. And it's no different. And we find here that men's, when we preach about the end times, when we preach about these things of the return of Jesus Christ and God's plan for the church, everybody who has this hope purifies themselves. Purification don't come by saying, thou shalt not. Purification comes by people believing what's right. When I begin to believe what's right, then I can begin to act on what's right. We do the exact opposite. We're trying to act right and don't believe right. And it's a war. That's a war, man. That's a battle. We're trying to do it and don't even believe in it. God's system doesn't. God wants you to come to the place where you believe it. And when you believe it, now you can act on it. See, you got to come to this place. See, many Christians are calling out today for peace. Believe the Bible. Get to yourself till you believe it's true. Meditate on it till it becomes real to you. You'll have peace. And you'll have the peace that passes all understanding, guarding your heart and mind. It doesn't make sense that you should be at peace with the trouble going on around you. But you'll be at peace. Man, I don't know about you. I want that. I want the peace that passes all understanding. I don't want the peace that the world's been looking for, and most people have. You know, we're trying to find world peace. There is none. Why would Jesus have to overcome the world if the world could have world peace? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. The world will never have world peace until Jesus steps foot on the planet and kills everybody who don't believe in Him. And world peace will start for 1,000 years. Now, many people don't like to hear that. They don't want to know that message. Well, you don't know that message, you can't, and don't believe it, you can't live at peace in this realm. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm happy one day that upon this earth, the wicked will be removed. The righteous will flourish. As long as the wicked live in this earth, there will be no flourishing of the righteous. Good preaching it. The last scriptures I want to read to you is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25. I want to read these to you. And then we're going to have communion. Glory to God. We're Christians. We believe. Hallelujah. This is what it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. He's telling us what. Consider one another in order to stir up love, good works. What does he say do? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Tells Christians not to forsake going to church. They're not supposed to forsake getting together with each other. It's not going and visiting, having dinner together. That's fine. It's about getting together around the Word of God, getting together, encouraging one another with the Word, building each other up in the Word. You want to do that. It's faith in the Word that will keep you. It's not hanging around other people. He's talking about the point of getting together. Listen to what he says. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Most Christians in America do not attend church. Most born-again Christians in America don't attend church. And they're not ready for Jesus to come back. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, many of my people are not going to be ready for my return. They're going to be in the end times, living in the flesh, going out there saying, I'm a Christian, forsaking their assembly together. They're self-love people. They only think of themselves. They don't care what happens to anybody else. It's all about me. Do you know why I come to church? It ain't just for it. It's for others. I've gone ever since I've been of a Christian. I've been in a church. I stay. You know, Body of Christ has a lot of messed up stuff, but it still is the best group to belong to. I don't care what anybody says. We might be messed up and have dumb things that go on, but we're the group to be around. These Christians that love to hang out with sinners and criticize the church, I know who they are and who they really believe. And they don't believe in Christ. I know that. That's big lies. They love the world and the things of the world. Jesus talked about them. They use the name Christian, but they love the world and the things of the world. Folks, as the day approaches, it requires us to encourage each other. Why? Look at the mess that's going on. Man, things want to make you quit, don't they? I ain't quitting, man. I ain't quitting. So you come together, we read these scriptures. You think I'm just doing this stuff for you? Man, I tell you, I read this stuff for me, folk. I don't preach this. Man, I tell you, lots of times I probably get more out of this than you get. Because I read it, study it, go over it how many times beforehand and going over this stuff and I'm looking at these scriptures and I'm going and I'm thinking, man, now tomorrow I get to get up and preach them. Glory to God, it'll get better yet. I get the anointing on me and come up and preach it. And what? It's just getting things into me. Why? And it encourages me because I need encouraged. And I want to encourage you because there's a lot that wants to discourage you, don't it? If we want to reach people in this final hour, we got to start living in front of people like we believe the Bible. God cannot confirm your life when you don't believe the truth. He cannot and he will not. Jesus Christ spoke to Randall Greer and told him the judgment's coming quickly on the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I cannot release my power into the earth with Christians living the way they do. He said, I would be justifying their dirty lives. He said, I can't let the world think I justify what they're doing. There's judgment coming. And you know what? That's scripturally a fact. He said, judgment will come to the house of God first. He said, then judgment's going to come on the government and people in America. Judgment's coming. And it's not from the standpoint to destroy. It's to try to get. The Lord said, when the judgment falls, there's many who have been and walked in error will come back to the truth again. So I don't think it's going to be any little things happening. I think there's going to be some pretty major things happening. But people need shaken up. I'm going to tell you what. I don't want God to have to judge America because Ed's an idiot. I want to be right. I want to walk right. I want to live right. I don't want to have any of this junk happen in our nation because I'm at fault. You understand? Any Christian that does not want to live right or walk right, they are a problem. I tell you, many people are going to be destroyed because of their paganism and refusal to live right. And one day, they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't care. You're born again. You don't get away with none of it. Every one of us, the Bible says, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every Christian. We don't get to go off to heaven and nothing said about what we did. That's not happening. Man, I'd like to get there and say, hey, good job, Ed. Get there and say, you scumbag, what were you doing down there? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to go there and say, you know, you was believing wrong and preaching wrong. You know, we don't know about you, bud. Well, and it's one thing. See, the Bible says, you know, we preach, we stand in greater judgment. I'm going to tell you what. We ought to have a lot of scared preachers today, and we don't, and that bothers me. There ought to be a lot of scared preachers because they're going to have to stand before Christ with a greater judgment. And boy, people aren't saying a lot of things that are true, and they won't talk about it. They won't say it. There ought to be a fear. You know, I'm afraid. I don't want to, you know, there is a fear, and it should be a fear within me to have to stand before Christ one day and get called out for being a scumbag. Because I'll face a greater judgment, and I realize that. Preaching, I will. But you know what? The truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. We're going to take communion here this morning. We're celebrating the work of Jesus Christ, and it's true. And he said, do this till I come back. And I tell you what, I don't think we're going to do it, you know, a million more times. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to come. And all this stuff we've put up with, and, you know, we put up with our faith, and people fighting against our faith, you know, hey, and I just want to say this. Don't fight with them. It's not going to do any good to fight with them. All it'll do is make you miserable. You know? These poor people out here are following the devil. You know, I was sitting, and the Lord told me on Friday night, I was sitting, and he told me that, I teach you on the book of Revelation. I have loads of notes and stuff that I've had over the years. And I sit down and reading the book of Revelation, dealing with the things of the final judgment, and I could not do anything but sit there and cry. People refusing God, the judgment being poured out there. What's good fighting with them? Me fighting with them only causes me problems, and their destiny if they don't come to Christ. I can't imagine what it would be to face, and the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, these people are going to face the wrath of God. This isn't judgment. There's a difference between judgment and wrath. Judgment is done to turn people around. Wrath is to eliminate them. We aren't facing wrath in America. We're going to have judgment. Judgment was always done to turn people around. It was a wake-up call. Bad things would happen, but it was wake people up to turn them. But there's a day of wrath coming. When Jesus steps on the Mount of Olives, there's a day of wrath. There's not a second call. There's not a second chance. Those who have not responded to Jesus Christ, there is not another opportunity. The door's closed. When I look and I read those things, I think, Ed, you're sitting here and you're saved. God's given you a destiny and you're going to heaven. No matter what they do. And those people are going to slaughter millions of Christians in this earth during those time periods. There's going to be a great slaughter, a beheading of those who will not worship the beast. But those people who die are going to go off to heaven. No matter what they do and no matter what they do. I just, you know, you can't, I don't see how you could cheer at what happened. I mean, I look at it and think, oh my God, all this humanity because they believed a lie and they followed it. And they're going, that's what they're going off to. And I was sitting there reading and thinking, hey, look what you're going off to. Look what your destiny is. Look what God did and you believed it. You know, sometimes I sit down and say, wonder, why did I believe? Why did I believe? Why some of these people, they hear the same message and they just, don't want it. They don't. I don't know. But I thank God I believed. As we take our communion today, I want to remind you who you are. Remind you of your destiny. Jesus is coming back for you. Jesus decided to come back for you. He had that plan for you as ever born. That anybody would believe on him, he's coming back. And we're going to have the fullness of our redemption. We're not going to have to put up with this body anymore that is always trying to tempt us over into sin. It ain't bad enough the devil works at us. Our own flesh works at us. And we're going to get to throw off this old suit. And we're going to put on that glorious suit that's just like Jesus. And you're going to forever be with the Lord. You talk about nice time. You talk about good. Folks, that's our destiny. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? But you know, it has to be based upon what we believe. So many people want that kind of destiny, but you have to believe certain things to have that destiny. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you that here this morning as we're gathered here, and Father, this celebration, Lord Jesus, there is none of these things that goes on or happen here had you not been faithful to carry out the will of the Father and step down into this earth. You stepped down here, you lived like men, you walked in this earth, and you came to the place, as we talked about last Sunday, where you came to that place of the cross, and you knew you were going to have to face that. And you faced it in the same way we face our tests and trials today. You were of no different. You had to call out for help from the Father, just like we have to call out for help. Hallelujah. But you obeyed, and you carried out the wonderful plan of redemption. And on that cross, you shed your blood, not because of any ill thing you had done. It's because of our iniquity. And our iniquity was laid upon you. And you suffered in our place. You suffered hell so we don't have to go there. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, I realize and I know I deserved damnation. I deserved to be put away forever. But heaven said, no, you deserve to be saved. Heaven said, no, you deserve to have God's life. And you sent your son and he died. And the devil thought he put him away forever. But there was a resurrection day that came. And that resurrection day, Jesus, you stepped out of that tomb. Victor over death. And Lord Jesus, we're looking now to that day when our final victory comes, hallelujah, and the fulfillment of all that you accomplished through your death, burial, and resurrection is going to be consummated in the church when the church takes on a body like yours. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. And thank you as we take our communion today, we're reminded that God became a man. You became a man, Jesus. You came down here and did all this, and you're coming back. You're coming back for us. And Lord God, we want to have the groaning in ourselves. Lord God, I want to have the groaning on me that I'm looking for you. I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm looking for you, Lord God. And Lord God, we're not going to be disappointed in this day and time. Lord God, these are the days of the victory of the Church of Jesus Christ, the glorious church. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.